Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. We're having good stuff happen to us here. The Gottlieb Show comes to you live and direct from sunny Southern California. Discover match all the cash back you earn your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Your favorite reality show, Ramos Go.
Jeez, I mean, I don't watch too many of reality shows. I would say I really enjoyed when it was on the Ozzy Osbourne one. I think it was on MTV. Are you talking about right now, today, or just
in general? No, in general.
Yeah,
in
so
general.
I like the Osbournes. I thought those were fun shows. So,
okay, what about you, Gav?
Mine was always the other CBS reality show, Big Brother. Because of all of the, it's a lot of the same stuff you were talking about the manipulation and alliances and conflicts and alliances. I love that stuff.
All right, what about you there, Isaac Lohenkron? Do you have a favorite reality?
Deep Show, of course.
It is the favorite. All
right, this is
if you only knew.
This is the deadliest game.
This is really the most dangerous game. This is incredibly embarrassing, and I'm hoping none of you will have ever heard of it. But there was once a long, long time ago when I was young and dumb, a reality series on VH1 called The Pickup Artist that I got into in the way that you get into looking at a train wreck as you're driving by.
Okay. Big Brother and Survivor are two of the longest lasting ones, right? There's Naked and Afraid, which my kids love. There's also the DIY ones, right? There's the DIY ones. You guys like those? Or I don't know if Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is one.
Triple D.
There's also the Real Housewives one.
Yes.
There's Jersey Shores.
Real Housewives. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys you skipped all of these ones,
yeah. And the Kardashians.
Like, oh, yeah, that's really good. I gave you no sort of context and just said, hey, do whatever you want. Were you guys into Jersey Shore when it happened?
No.
Oh yeah, I was.
GTL.
Were you into Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
Yes,
I was at first. Yes, yeah.
Laguna Beach or The Hills?
The Hills. Yes.
The Real World.
I like The Real World because I thought The Real World was actually an honest beginning of reality TV, and then now everything's more like people that just want to be on TV. That's what I think people are now.
The Real Housewives franchise, what I didn't know is it debuted in 2006.
Wow.
And it debuted with the Orange County cast. So some of those have been on for a long time. There's The Bachelor. Do you guys do The Bachelor, The Bachelorette?
Yep. Well, sometimes you have to if you're with a significant other who that's their favorite.
Oh, show. Right. Take one for the team. Yeah.
The Girls Next Door. That's the Playboy Playmate one.
I did watch that.
I was a big fan. Holly Robinson.
Yes. My Super Sweet 16.
No.
Yeah, that's like people that have these crazy. What about American Idol?
I did watch American Idol when it was on another channel, but now the current version I do not watch.
You can say it like it's not like they're gonna. When it was on Fox, you watched it. What's it on now?
Yeah, I guess I'm just old school. I don't know if what you can say on the air.
I mean,
stuff.
I don't know. But what channel is it on now? I don't even know.
It's on ABC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the big thing was when they lost Simon. It's like, why am I watching this show without Simon?
Right.
Because it needs somebody to go like, you're terrible. You're terrible. $1 Million Listing. You ever guys seen that one? America's Next Top Model.
That's Tyra Banks. I don't know if she's still on it now, but.
What about the chef that yells at the curses at everybody?
Oh,
Gordon Ramsay.
Hell's Kitchen.
Yep.
These hash browns.
You are an idiot.
Top Chef. Do you guys ever watch Top Chef?
I love Top Chef.
I love Top
That's
Chef.
That's actually probably my favorite one.
I don't know if Shark Tank's reality, but I like Shark Tank. It's kind of a reality show.
I think it's reality, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For my money, I've had friends that are on Below Deck. You guys ever seen that one?
I have, and I enjoy that immensely. Yes, I forgot about Below Deck.
Vanderpump Rules, 90 Day Fiancé. There's a lot of different reality shows. So here's the thing. I was thinking about this Tim Tebow signing. First of all, Tim Tebow is not on the Jaguars' regular season roster yet. In order to be in training camp, you got to sign a contract. There's a 90-guy roster, and then you got to cut it down. So that roster, he'll be on. Jeff Darlington from ESPN said, not everybody, obviously Urmeyer is the one behind all this. Not everybody in the Jaguars building is thrilled with Tim Tebow coming in. They don't think necessarily it sends the proper message to the rest of the team, the locker room, and the guys that are trying to make this team. Well, I don't know. What message do you think it sends? I don't understand these. Like, well, it sends conflicting messages. Like, he's a guy who's played in the NFL, obviously been trying Major League Baseball, was a great college player, was a starting quarterback in the NFL, and now trying to make it at a different position. I don't really understand the... We load up all this other dumb stuff with it. Comments about Kaepernick, like Devin Bush. Tebow got a job before Kaepernick. Wait till we play Jacksonville. One, Kaepernick not being in the league has nothing to do with Tebow, and Tebow being in the league has nothing to do with kneeling in prayer or anything. He was a starting quarterback who lost his job, wasn't that good. They told him to change positions. He instead changed sports. Now he's coming back and playing for his college coach. What does that have to do with Kaepernick? By the way, Kaepernick, apparently, I saw this on TMZ during the break. He's got a new book coming out in which he talks about completely dissolving the police department. Yeah, that'll go well. That's going to happen. That's gonna work. Devin Bush, wait till we play Jacksonville. You don't play Jacksonville this year. So if you play Jacksonville this year, it'd be in the playoffs, and no one would question anything Urban Meyer's done if he's in the playoffs. But the big thing is, I was thinking about reality shows and Survivor. And Survivor is about, to me, it's the best show that there's ever been, because that's what life is like. Right? You're thrown into a situation, you kind of get to know each other. So much of your baggage, based upon your own background and where you grew up and how you grew up and who you grew up around and what you do for a living. And then you got to find a way to figure out, like, who are the people that are going to be around at the end of this game? And how can I be a part of that? And how can I have my allegiance and alliances? On the other hand, not necessarily be viewed as somebody who's not inclusive to others. You want to be a leader, but you don't want to be the first one cut. You don't want to be a total follower. There's somewhere kind of in the middle. You want to align yourselves with the smartest, most popular people, but understanding that those people, at the end of the day, those people are going to worry about themselves first and foremost. Kind of complicated, you know? But that's what life is like. And so people ask all the time, like, what do you think of the Tebow thing? I think it's a game of Survivor. He has an alliance, you know, with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He happened to grow up in the area. All of these things make a ton of sense. Do I think he ultimately makes the team? I don't know. Probably not. But do I think having Tim Tebow working his ass off, being a positive influence, being from the area, being popular, creates some positive momentum for the team? Of course I do. You know, of course I do. So all of that makes complete and total sense to me. And if it doesn't make sense to you, that's probably because you look at Survivor and you think, well, that's not what real life is like. That's exactly what real life is like. Exactly. To a T. That's what real life is like. That's how it works. That's how they roll. You know? That's how it works. That's how they roll. And if you don't understand that, that's okay. But you probably haven't been around the workforce for a long, long time. Right? That's who you're aligned with is like the most important thing. And for Tim Tebow, he's aligned with the coach. He's popular in the area. he's at a kind of nondescript position where, yeah, he's going to have to increase his size, his strength, his ability to block if he wants to be in the league, play special teams as a backup. All those things are accurate. But it's not like he's trying out for quarterback, which would be a much, 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 much more difficult task. Just would be incredibly difficult. Survivor is a must watch to anybody who wants to get in the business world, because that's what the business world is actually like. It's not who you, it's not what you know, but who you know and who you're aligned with. Once you begin to accept that and understand that, then you can move forward and smartly kind of navigate all the egos and personalities wherever, however you work. So I think if you do that, if you operate in that fashion, you're going to understand why Tebow makes sense. Like, go and look at the Jaguars organization from the front office to the coaching staff. Like, you brought in Charlie Strong. What does Charlie Strong bring to an NFL team? Like, he was a great recruiter and a good, you know, D-line or linebackers. He's their linebackers coach. But he has extensive knowledge of all these kids because he recruited them or coached them or coached against them. And he also knows his coach exceptionally well because he coached with him when they were at Florida. All of that knowledge of how that how this place works, that's what Tim Tebow can bring in. Hey, I know how coach works. I know what he wants. I know what he's looking for. Be the eyes and be the ears of the coaching staff when you're in the locker room. I've heard people say, well, he should have come in as a coach. No, he shouldn't have. Go in as a player. Now, are people going to act real around him and say what they really think? Of course not. Of course not. There's some downside to it. And I would say that Urban Meyer's going to have to be extra hard on Tim Tebow. Otherwise, you know, it'll be that. That's what coaches usually do with favors or favorites or sons, whatever. Extra hard on those guys. That'll all happen. That'll all happen. And if you think it relates to Kaepernick in any way, like, you're just not paying attention. Jaguars reporter John Shipley, who joined us earlier today, had this to say about Tebow.
I think a lot of people are saying, what's the harm? Whereas, you know, some other people are saying, okay, does this maybe cause any concerns about maybe Meyer's transition to the NFL? Because there's no other coach in the NFL, you know, that is trying to bring in Tebow as a tight end. Every free agent tight end on the market right now and who has, you know, even played a snap in the NFL is technically more qualified to be signed by the Jaguars than Tebow as a tight end. So that's kind of the balance with it. You know, I think a lot of people are kind of excited just at the prospect of it and the fact that, you know, it can be kind of a feel-good story. And plus, like I mentioned, there are a lot of Gator fans inside Jacksonville. But I think there are a lot more fans inside Jacksonville who are kind of wondering, okay, what exactly are they attempting to do with this?
I think we're overthinking it. He's Urban Meyer's guy. Urban Meyer's his guy. It's that simple. Right? And the show of loyalty by coach to player, hey man, I give you a shot. We'll give you a look. That actually resonates very well in a locker room. Coach is loyal. Coach takes care of his guys. Coach will always give you that one extra opportunity that other people won't. If you don't think that works, don't think you're paying attention.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Jaylen Brown's out for the rest of the season. Did you guys see that story? Torn ligament, left wrist. They announced that yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening. Brown's expected to have surgery to repair that torn ligament later this week. He's never missed more than 12 games in the season. Now he's going to miss, I guess, a playoff run play-in game playoff run, play-in tournament playoff run. So, yeah, no, I mean, I just don't see it happening. I don't see it happening for the Boston Celtics. They've already had chemistry issues and major injury issues all year. They're going to be in the play-in game, play-in tournament. Doesn't mean they can't beat the Hornets, although they have some questions about Gordon Hayward's health. The Pacers have their own issues with coaching staff not getting along, and I guess the Wizards. But then, you know, you win, you end up with the Brooklyn Nets. They're not beating the Nets with that lineup. I think you can cross the Celtics off. Cross them off. Cross off the Hornets. Cross off the Celtics. I mean, look, the Heat were amazing the other night, 73 in the first half against the same Celtics. The Hawks have been much better since the coaching change. There's no way to dispute it. But I just don't think, I mean, it's really a three-team race. And I do think that the Nets have a great chance to come out of the East, even though defense is a series of major issues for them. And now, of course, they're going to run into the Bucks in the second round based upon where they're finishing, because Philadelphia's won eight in a row and they've stumbled a bit being injured here down the stretch.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Boy, I mean, the backpedaling from Bob Baffert is kind of comical, isn't it? Right? Like, oh, somebody tainted our supplement too. You know what? That's our bad. We put some ointment on it. I wasn't aware of it until today. More on that to come. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's get you to Charles Robinson, Yahoo senior NFL reporter. Charles, where do you think the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are?
I think it's somewhat of a stalemate now, but the fact that it's quieted down is probably good. I think, you know, at this point, what's gotten out into the public, pretty much Aaron's feelings are out there, and his unwillingness to come out and knock any of it down, you know, I think he's sort of allowing it to linger out there and see how public opinion forms. And I think the Packers now are in the mode of, what do we have to do to, you know, to convince this guy that this is a place where he needs to be? And if this is a rehash of 2018, when, you know, Aaron was upset about some of the things that had gone on with his quarterback coach and Jordy Nelson and some other players, you know, the Packers threw a ton of money at him in a contract extension and it resolved it. And so I'm wondering if now that's what the Packers are thinking, that, hey, look, this is ultimately going to come down to the right number, and whatever, you know, mea culpa needs to take place with Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, to convince Aaron that, you know, he's respected and that, you know, mistakes were made and that the franchise is there to remedy it. That's the work that's in front of the Packers now, because, you know, you talk to other teams, there are other teams that would be interested if he's on the market, but there's no indication whatsoever that that's taking place. So, sans a trade, you know, potentially developing, this is the change agent's going to be the mandatory minicamp in June. And if he shows up for that, and if he doesn't, I assume he's not going to show up to the OTAs at the end of this month. And if he doesn't show up for the mandatory minicamps, then I think it starts to ratchet it up before training camp.
So where do you think he's the starting quarterback game one of the season next year?
This is different than 2018 in that a lot of his feelings and grievances are out there in the public. The Jerry Krause thing's true. I know that to be true. That's something that he repeated to more than one person. It got around. His feelings of not being heard by the front office, you know, are legitimate. His beef with Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, is legitimate. You know, so all these things are out there, and his unwillingness to continue forward with the franchise, the way that it's structured and set up, and the money that was initially on the table, that's all different. But again, I go back to 2018. I think he was pretty upset then. It really did not become this public, and it hadn't gone on as long as it has now. But money did resolve it. I mean, they came to the table and said, we're going to make you the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, the highest paid player in the NFL. We're going to do this extension. And we're going to lock you in. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, he was locked in for 2018, 2019, 2020, and what should have been 2021. And I'm sure if the Packers came to the table right now, so you know what, we're going to put a deal on the table. It's going to lock you in for 4 years. So we'll take you through, you know, you're 37. We'll take you into your 40s. You said you want to play in your 40s. We're going to lock you in, you know, to a deal that will make us stick with you for the next 4 years. and essentially the end of Jordan Love's, you know, rookie contract, I think I'd be surprised if that didn't resolve things, if they just said, we're going to make you the highest paid player for the next in the NFL for the next 4 years.
It'd be funny. Like, I never want to play for you again. How much? All right, I'll do 4 years.
Money talks. I mean, that's we can say whatever we want, and people can say, you know, take their principled stances in the NFL. But at the end of the day, you know, particularly when it comes to grievances with the front office, the apology comes in the form of a paycheck. I mean, that's just how the NFL works. So if you're not going to oust the general manager, and I don't know, the Packers aren't going to fire Brian Gutekunst, it's not going to happen. And the feelings are burned between Aaron and Brian. You know, Mark Murphy, the team president, he's got to stand up and go, okay, look, I need to broker the peace here. However that needs to happen, you know, we need to know precisely from Aaron, what does he want in terms of when we do, you know, make personnel moves, like what will make him feel heard? What's a financial number that will make him feel secure? What contract structure does he want? If they truly want him back, somebody's going to have to give in. And if it's not the Packers, then it has to be Aaron Rodgers just standing up and going, well, you know what? It all got out there. Everybody knows how I feel. I'm going to play out 2021 and, you know, expect that I won't be on the team after 2021. You know, they'll move on from me after 2021. So, you know, I hate predicting this one because I'm just telling you, man, the way it went in 2018, I really thought that was going to come to a head. And he signed a huge whopper of a contract. And then in the process of the buildup to that, and even afterward, you know, he played it off like what had gotten out about his relationship with Mike McCarthy was just media driven. Oh, his unhappiness about, you know, Alex Van Pelt being fired was media driven. The stuff about, you know, him being unhappy with how the Jordy Nelson departure was handled was media driven. That was all false. But that's, you know, that's the game that he is still left on the table for himself right now. By not talking, he has the ability to do an extension and then come out afterward and say, hey, you know, a lot of that stuff you heard was just BS. It's not that bad. It was never that bad. We were always going to work through this. And in spite of what Davante Adams has said, and even the people who are optimistic about this who have said there's issues there to resolve, it was never as bad as the media made it out to be. That's the option he has left on the table by not speaking.
Charles Robinson joining us, Yahoo Sports. He's got the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. You should download that. Listen to him here. Follow his work at Yahoo Sports. It's outstanding. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I look at life, and I've used this twice in the show. I feel like Survivor, when I first started watching Survivor, this is when I was right out of college during the first year when they gave away that terrible Pontiac. Remember that one? They gave away that terrible Pontiac. But I tuned in because I wanted to see people actually surviving eating worms on a deserted island. And it became a game about alliances, right? And then I started to grow and mature and become an adult. And my son has since poured over all 39 seasons to date. I think they're on season 40 now, believe it or not. And I said, and he was like, do you like the show? I said, I don't like the show. I love the show because that's what life is about. It's about alliances. I look at the Tim Tebow thing and I think Tim Tebow is from there, played for Urban Meyer. He's changing positions. He's just trying to make a team. Okay. But it's an act of loyalty by Urban Meyer, just giving him a shot. And this, all of these other issues that, because people have a negative thought of Tebow, the Kaepernick conversation, like all of that is nonsense. And this is just how business works, where if you're going to get a shot to be in the league, it's going to be with your college coach, you part of two national championship teams just down the road. Like, it makes sense to me. How do you view it?
Well, people have to understand that when you're on the outside of the NFL looking in, whether you've been out of the league 8 years or you've been out of the league 1 year, whatever it is, whether you've got civil court cases stacked against you, whether you're considered a diva in the locker room, whatever your issue is that forces you onto the outside of the NFL bubble, what helps you get back in is an advocate. You have to have an advocate, somebody who paves the way for you. Antonio Brown, Tom Brady paved the way for Antonio Brown to get back into the league with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. Like, that happened. And, you know, Colin Kaepernick, you know, I made the joke, you should just switch his position to tight end and then got back into the league. It's a tongue-in-cheek joke, you know, but it continues to show you the absurdity that the NFL will stretch itself to, even because of the buddy relationships that exist in the NFL, that someone can be out of the league who really wasn't a great quarterback when he was in the league, and now, you know, he's getting back into the league 8+ years later at a different position because, as you said, there's the friend network. But he has an advocate. Colin Kaepernick never really had an advocate who wasn't named Eric Reed to really get him back into the league. And in particular, not an advocate in power, meaning an owner, meaning a head coach, meaning someone who said, hey, I don't care what happens to me. This relationship is important enough for me to onboard you, and then I'll handle whatever the outside stuff is. Urban Meyer knew this was going to happen. He knew if I signed Tim Tebow, there's going to be criticism. I mean, he knows this is going to look ridiculous. But it's a 90-man roster. They could sign you as quarterback. They could sign me as a wide receiver. They could sign Daffy Duck as a running back. And it means nothing on a 90-man roster in reality, because a lot of guys float in and off of a 90-man roster before, you know, the cutdowns happen in training camp. And so this brings a lot of attention, probably deflects a little bit of attention from Trevor Lawrence, if we're being honest, because a lot of people in Jacksonville are talking about Tim Tebow. And by the way, they're not talking about him as quarterback, talking about him as a tight end. Whatever the nature of the conversation is, it's not about the immense pressure of being anointed the next great quarterback god, which Trevor Lawrence was until, you know, Tim Tebow was signed in Jacksonville. So it deflects a little bit. I personally, whatever, like it's a storyline right now in May, you know, May, June, July, we'll see, we'll get into camp. We'll see what he does. If he's, you know, if he shows up for training camp and, you know, we'll go from there. And if he's good enough and he makes the roster, well, then he's going to have to prove it on the field. And then the real criticism starts, because once he takes a spot on the 53, then I would say if he's in the league and Tyler Eifert isn't, you know, or Trey Burton isn't, or a number of qualified tight ends aren't, and he stinks, then you look at Urban Meyer and you go, okay, now I'm going to start talking about Steve Spurrier. Now I'm going to start talking about the big-time college coach who tried to create the big-time college program in the NFL by bringing in a bunch of college guys that he was familiar with, and how that failed spectacularly. So right now, I don't think it's a huge story other than the buzz, you and I talking about it, people, you know, debating it or whatever. I think if he gets on that 53-man roster, then you're going to really hold that against Urban Meyer and, you know, also Tim Tebow, because clearly Tim Tebow must think he can do this. And it takes some stones to think that you can come back at 33 years old and play a position you haven't played.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Charles Robinson, our guest from Yahoo Sports. Who do you think is the quarterback of the Patriots? Go ahead.
Before we get to that, I just want to ask you, who is Tim Tebow going to block? Just a tight end has to block in the NFL. So if before people think, well, is he going to make the roster or not, I legitimately am asking you, how is he picking up someone on the edge? What's going to happen in a one-on-one matchup with a defensive end to Tim Tebow? I mean, realistically,
I honestly don't know. I mean, I've seen some video of him attempting to block back when he was with the Jets, and it wasn't good. And not playing football does not make you a better blocker. It's not like you don't play football for that long and all of a sudden you're a better blocker. But like, look, it's, you know, like, I mean, if I'm honest, I didn't get a training camp spot, but I did summer league and did these vet mini camps with the Lakers. Why'd I get that opportunity? I was a bad fit for the triangle. Well, my dad coached with Tex Winter, and Tex went to bat for me. Like, that's how these late training camp invites, that's how that stuff works. Right. I mean, that's the reality of business and how it works. And then, you know, if you're good enough, you stick, and if you're not, you don't. So I don't think you'll block anybody. But I'm willing to concede that I don't know that he won't. And maybe.
Oh, we'll find out. Yes. I mean, that's the great thing about the NFL is it is the great revealer. Like, this will not be left up to question. Like, whatever he's going to be, we will see very quickly. I mean, there's when we watch guys fall in the draft, these prospects, you know, and people are like, well, he was this, he was that, or he was all conference. I'm like, all right, well, I also heard that when he went in the locker room, and it's an alpha locker room, he wilted almost immediately in training camp, and that's going to show when he gets on the field. And it is. It's the NFL is the great revealer, and we'll know pretty quickly, you know, what Tim Tebow is or isn't or can or can't be. But I don't know. It's not a big deal. I mean, I don't really think the Kaepernick comparison. You know, I don't think
it fits at all. But I do think, like, Kaepernick comparison works. Here's where it works, right? The one place that he nearly signed was Baltimore, because I'm sure one, you had Greg Roman there, two, you had John Harbaugh there, right? It was probably going to happen. This before they ended up drafting Lamar Jackson. And had his girlfriend not put out the meme, it probably happens, and history changes dramatically. But she napalmed that. That was his rabbi in the room, right? He had Roman. He had Harbaugh. He had the brother of his former coach. He had his former offensive coordinator. I actually think that that is, if you want to teach somebody the true lesson, did the other stuff keep Kaepernick out? I'm sure it did. But the true lesson why he's out of the league was it's like baseball. You just got to have one, right? You got to have one team, one guy who will stand on the table and say, we need this guy. He had it. And they screwed it up.
It screwed that opportunity up. There's no doubt about that. The sustained lack of opportunity was a multitude of other things, whether it was political, whether it was a locker room decision, whether it was an owner decision. It's a
and
whole
play,
other thing.
And play. He hasn't been good. People forget he lost his job after 2014 because he was seen as a guy who was very quiet and wasn't an alpha, and he wasn't playing very well. And then he got his job back because of injury. Like, do I think the other things played a part? Yes. Do I think it's also he had one real good year? It's like a year and a half that he was good in the NFL. Yes, that's part of it as well. Like it's all not one, but he did have that one opportunity. Like imagine right now if Tim Tebow came out with something negative about Urban Meyer. Like how? I mean, he had no. She'd never be back in the league. And granted, it's a different position. There's a lot of differences there. There's, I think, the only parallel you can draw.
I think the big lesson here is that the NFL is going to continue to pay the price for, you know, the long runs of history, and Colin Kaepernick is never going to go away.
But it's not. What price? The TV money's doubled. The ratings are up.
Oh, no, I don't. I don't mean the price of, you know, the bottom line price. I mean, the NFL's made a multitude of decisions that you could say are questionable and never paid the bottom line price for almost anything. It's been that bulletproof. So I just mean in the pages of history, how it's looked upon will ultimately be, this is the debate that happens, you know? I mean, this will probably be the last one, and it's not really a real debate. I don't think anyone really is cracking it up to a real debate. No one's really, sure, I think at this point, debating why Colin Kaepernick's not in the league anymore, you know? But I think it's a hallmark of what history, at least, depending on who's writing the history, we'll look back and point at. Just like, you know, listen, for Pete Rozelle and Paul Tagliabue, history will always look back and say, well, you know, what about concussions? You know, what about, you know, mental health? What about, you know, for Roger Goodell, it's going to be, what about domestic violence? What about, you know, there's a price always going to be paid, and he's going to be, you know, part of the price in terms of how you want your narrative to read out, you know, when it's all said and done. So, I'll tell you this, and this is actually interesting, and no one's really thought about this, but commissioners do come up for Hall of Fame consideration. And when Paul Tagliabue came up for Hall of Fame consideration, a very long conversation in the room, even though I'm not a voter, but I talk to voters, was everything about concussions, about what, you know, look, what was going on, what was covered up, what, you know, what did the league know? And I guarantee you, someday Roger Goodell is going to come up for consideration, particularly because the revenues exploded during Roger Goodell's tenure, and he set really high standards, and, you know, he's going to get a lot of the business side consideration that Jerry Jones got and what ultimately got Jerry Jones in now, you know, already. But I think Colin Kaepernick will end up being a conversation in that room about what Roger did or didn't do. And that whole thing will start to get, you know, peeled back once again, when Rogers, you know, whenever the league, you know, decides, hey, we're going to push him for Hall consideration.
That's interesting. Last thing, who's the quarterback for the Patriots this year?
I fully expect it's going to start out that it's going to be Cam. Mac Jones, the great thing about Mac Jones is, you know, he fits in a lot of ways, and because Nick and Bill have that relationship, you know, Bill knows everything, you know, right down to, you know, Mac Jones's underwear size. I mean, he knows everything about the kid, but the kid was playing with a lot of first-round talent at Alabama. He was running a college offense. You know, no matter what you want to say about the fit, you know, it was still a college offense. So there's going to be a learning curve. And the only way I think Cam does not start the season is if he comes back and he's the hurt Cam, like the Cam who looks like he can't throw anymore, that he's never recovered from the injuries, that he's a Xerox of a Xerox of himself. If that's the Cam that comes out of training camp, then I think Mac Jones has got an opportunity to start If Bill, the number, you know, he can follow the number one rule of Bill is just don't screw it up. Like, don't go out there and turn the ball over. You're going to go out there and turn the ball over, we're not putting you on the field. But, you know, that's all going to depend on Cam. I mean, it's in Cam's hands to show up and show that he can still, you know, be a starter in the NFL. And I really truly believe Bill wants to give him that opportunity. I think Bill saw enough from him and really liked how Cam absorbed the culture of the Patriots. And felt like Cam was a leader, you know, for the Patriots and wants him, you know, to succeed. So he's going to give him that opportunity. So don't just pencil, you know, Mac Jones in from the start. I think it's up to Cam whether or not he can wrestle that away. Now, once the season starts, you know, we'll see. We'll see how everything unfolds. But he could get hurt too. Like, hey, Drew Bledsoe. Who was it? Mo Collins from the Jets?
Yeah. I mean, Mo, not Mo Collins, Mo, shoot, who was it? What's his name?
Linebacker for the Jets, right? Man, yeah. I know I'm old enough to remember this. But
Mo
I
Lewis,
like
Mo me. Lewis, Mo Lewis.
Mo Lewis, Mo Lewis, okay.
Mo Lewis.
All right, yeah.
By the way, just, hey. You know, somewhere there's a tape of me, I guest hosted on ESPN Radio that night, and I said, Tom Brady, the guy who split time his senior year at Michigan, Patriots are
Listen,
done.
I watched that year. I covered the Lions, but I didn't go to the Super Bowl that year, obviously. I watched in Michigan, in Detroit, Michigan. I sat in a living room with like 12 University of Michigan alums. You know, I went to Michigan State. I had a lot of friends who went to Michigan. 12 University of Michigan alums watched that Super Bowl, and I literally remember them just sitting there going, I can't believe Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, they were just beside themselves
yep.
with how mediocre they thought Tom Brady was. Now, let me tell you, that has changed.
that
narrative
has, changed.
Has been rewritten.
Charles, awesome stuff. Great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me, Doug.
That's my guy, Charles Robinson, joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to the press.
The press.
Isaac Lohenkron, what do you got?
All right, Doug, this news just in. San Diego Padres star Fernando Tatis Jr. has tested positive for COVID-19. He is presently asymptomatic. In a related story a short time ago, the Yankees said that third base coach Phil Nevin tested positive for COVID, despite Nevin having been fully vaccinated.
That's so weird, right? But it's just weird. We're in this space where some ballparks are completely open, and yet we're still testing guys.
Mm-hmm.
Really weird place.
All right, this is sort of a baseball NBA hybrid. Brian Windhorst reporting earlier today that entrepreneur Mark Lohr and baseball star Alex Rodriguez's 30-day exclusive negotiating window to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves has ended without a deal. They're continuing to negotiate in good faith with Glenn Taylor, and it's possible they could agree to an extension of the negotiating window. Mark Stein of the New York Times reports that NBA vet Aaron Aflalo, who had been heading a competing ownership proposal, plans to relaunch his bid.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. It's going to go back on the market, right? This is like a house that falls out of escrow. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, well, tonight we have some NBA games that are interesting, right? The Lakers, although LeBron won't be back. And then I think that's the most interesting. And we'll see with Brooklyn, they start to get healthy. There's also Phoenix and Golden State, preview Golden State, obviously going to have to go into the play-in game, but they got to win to get in the playoff game. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.